I talk to people all the time. Someone even told me once they thought I'd be a good talk show host.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of people. How do you get that, though? Where do you start? You can't just walk into a building and say, I want to be a talk show host.
I wouldn't think so.
It's all politics.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I'm with you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing is scheduled to start anytime now. Jay Inslee press conference scheduled to start anytime. We will do our best to bring you both of them. And I would love to bring you both in their entirety, because right now, more than anything, I think people are just hungry for information. And as I said to Brock Huert, anybody you read, watch, listen to who says they know how this is going to play out, you should remove them as a news source, because I don't think anybody knows how this is going to play out. But right now, more than ever, I want to hear information. I want to hear it from Inslee. I want to hear it from the president and his doctors. So we will take care of both of those for you as best we can. As soon as either one gets started, we will go to that. But while we're waiting, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
Well, I did tell you, and this I am certain of, that we do have socialists on the Seattle City Council. And, you know, the saying, never let a good crisis go to waste. In an unbelievably misguided bit of timing this morning, Seattle Council members Tammy Morales and Shama Sawant, they announced that they are going to introduce legislation to pile on gigantic taxes on big businesses like Amazon. And what they're going to do with the money is just, well, it's a socialist dream. They said that they want to give $500 a month to every low-income person in Seattle, and they want them to keep getting those cash payments for months after the health crisis is over. And who would qualify for the $500? Low-income households and individuals, seniors, illegals will get $500 a month. So, of course, Seattle being the land of plenty, we are going to attract even more illegals to our region. But and then they say working people who have lost their income. Well, our federal government is doing a great job of, you know, that $2 trillion bailout for working people and businesses. But the fact that they specifically said, although they use different terminology, I happen to be a little more plain spoken than the socialists, but they specifically said that they want to tax big business so they can give $500 a month to illegals in Seattle. Now, this is like, you know, Babylon Bee or The Onion? Satirical sites wouldn't run stuff like this because it's too crazy to be funny. But this is the reality here now, that in the midst of an economic crisis, the last thing you want to do is drive companies from Seattle. When companies, even big business, they are facing some economic challenges through this, just like the working people, just like the small businesses that we're so desperate to take care of. And then they say, hey, let's tax Amazon and other big biz so we can give $500 a month to illegals. I have no words. Here's Tammy Morales talking about
our proposal addresses some of these issues by aiding 100,000 Seattle households with a $500 a month check for 4 months.
Yeah. So free money rains from the sky because we can just tax the
evil. It's really clear that this public health crisis has quickly become an economic crisis too.
And that is where the socialists on the council And the biggest socialists are Tammy Morales and Kshama Sawant. They, I think that they are very pleased for this opportunity that the crisis presents. I'm not going to say that they're pleased with the health crisis, but I think they're thrilled at the opportunity that the health crisis presents.
We have seen that the projection for unemployment rates across the country may reach as high as 30%.
As high as 30%. That is the highest range that I have seen. If that's the case, how about if we start? Los Angeles has 5 city council members, I believe. Seattle has 9. Why don't we, if the private sector has 30% unemployment, could we immediately get rid of 3 Seattle City Council members for a city that is a fraction the size of Los Angeles? We have almost double the number of city council members. Let's have shared sacrifice. If we have 30% unemployment, let's cut the city of Seattle budget by 30%. Let's cut the King County budget by 30%. But their solution is to appeal to the socialists. Oh, Inslee is starting. Oh, man, I was on a roll. He's interrupting me, not just the president. We take you to Olympia Live.
Condolences for the over 200 people who've lost their lives and their families. We know they are grieving, and we are grieving with them. And the reason I mention this is in the days to come, almost all Washingtonians are going to have some challenges in their lives, inconveniences, disturbances, and frustrations. And while we go through this, I am sure that we will keep these lost Washingtonians in our hearts and in our minds so that we will be committed in their memory to do everything we can to prevent other families from having to suffer these losses. I'm confident we will share their lives in our hearts. And I'm also confident that people will rise to the challenge of working together to defeat this virus. And today we're here to talk about yet another way to do that so that we can emerge victorious as soon as possible. The calendar has turned to April. We know this month could be decisive in this effort, both in terms of our nation's response and our state's response against COVID-19. This is perhaps the decisive moment that we are facing. And we know that this is a stern foe. It is an invisible foe, but it is not one that we cannot master by seizing our own destiny and doing the things, working together to tame this beast. So today, I want to say that there's many reasons to be appreciative of the joint efforts of people across the state of Washington. One of them is to be grateful for the manufacturers who are springing to the task of manufacturing in our state the crucial supplies that we need in this war against this virus. Various places across the state, we're making surgical masks that are needed by our workers in healthcare facilities and emergency responders. We're helping people who are essential workers get their personal protective equipment because we need all of our essential workers to be healthy. Joining us via a video stream is Dan Nordstrom, CEO of Outdoor Research. This is a company that's made super mountain climbing and outdoor gear and is now turning to the task before us. We also have Chris Johnson, who is president and CEO of the Association of Washington Business, who has been so helpful finding additional help in the state of Washington. So here's the fact. We have distributed well over 1 million pieces of personal protective equipment by the state of Washington across the state. And there are basically 3 supply lines, if you will, for this vital equipment. One is from hospitals themselves and medical clinics. One is from the state of Washington, and one is from the federal government. So there are 3 supply lines feeding the front lines in this effort. In this effort, we know that the needs are great for face shields, for gowns, for N95 masks and surgical masks. And the equipment we need for increasing testing, including vials and the medium, this is the material that the swab goes into to make sure it's transferred to the lab. We distribute equipment as we receive it from the federal government, from the federal stockpile, to the hospitals and emergency responders. But we know this. What we have done so far is not enough. We rather urgently need to increase the stocks of particularly personal protection equipment. Our nurses deserve to be protected. They are in the front lines, and they are heroes. Our doctors deserve to be protected. Our maintenance workers in hospitals and our long-term care facilities deserve to be protected. Our firefighters and police officers who respond, they deserve to be protected. So it is up to us to do everything humanly possible to get them this life-saving equipment. So we have ongoing orders out for supplies from the federal stockpile, but the federal government has not been able to supply them to us fast enough to meet the need. And I'll talk for a moment about another thing the federal government could do. But the fact of the matter is, we need to seize our own destiny, and we need to now do what we did in World War II. In World War II, the people of Washington State built B-29s in Seattle. They built minesweepers on Bainbridge Island in Kitsap County. And now it is time for all of us to turn to manufacturing the equipment we need in this fight, in this war, in this century. We need the items that you see on your screen. We need businessmen and women to turn to making surgical masks and swab test kits so we can increase the testing so we can test people who really need the test. We need vials that are an important part of this test. We need N95 masks that are the top-of-the-line masks and face shields and gloves and surgical gowns. We need all of this precious equipment. And we believe that there is the best talent in the world in making things of manufactured products here in the state of Washington. So I'm here today to ask all business people, all leaders, all skilled workers to ask themselves if they can join this effort. Ask themselves if they can change what you're making now. If you're making plastic parts of any nature today, we ask that you ask yourself if you could help make face shields or even the top piece that goes around your forehead. If you're making medical supplies today, ask yourself, can you make vials that can be used in our test kits? If you're making any cloth-related product, we want to ask you to ask yourself, can you make surgical masks as fast as you can? Now, that is a request that requires disruption of existing business supply lines. But this is a moment that counts. And we have great business people. We have great skilled manufacturing people. And I'm here to ask you to think if you can get into this fight and volunteer to be a soldier in this fight as a manufacturer. I want to tell you why this is necessary. Obviously, it's necessary because the virus has sprung upon us as it has. But the fact is that we are not going to be able to get as much help that, or at least we cannot count in as much help as we would like from the federal government. We have been hopeful that the federal government would engage the Defense Production Act that would use the federal government ability to require manufacturers to make these products. At my request, the president engaged a part of that last week when he issued orders regarding ventilators. But to date, he has not issued using that act for surgical masks, for swab tests, for saline solution, for surgical gowns, for face shields. And unless that happens, we just got to realize we have to put pedal to the metal right here on a volunteer basis in the state of Washington. So we're grateful that the president did use that for ventilators, but there are so many other pieces of equipment that we desperately need. So we want to amplify this request. We know that certain manufacturers are helping us out, but we've got more to do. So if you do find it in your heart to think, even even think about the possibility of this, I hope you can go to coronavirus.wa.gov, coronavirus.wa.gov, and you'll see how you can help button, and I hope you can sign up in this regard. And again, I think people, if they use a little creativity, a lot of people are going to find out you can help in this fight. Now, with that, I would like to turn it over to Dan Nordstrom of Outdoor Research, who has been so helpful to us as one of our great entrepreneurs in Washington State. Dan, why don't you tell us how you got interested in this and what your plans are and what your suggestions are to the rest of the state. Thank you, Dan.
Sure. Thank you.
Let me tell you, you are listening to a Jay Inslee press conference in Olympia. He is consigning some private business, which I fully support, in this fight. I will also tell you the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing has been delayed until 2:30, so we will also bring that to you live. But now let's go back to Olympia for our live coverage from the governor's press conference here on the Dory Monson Show, 97.3 Cairo FM.
I have tooling on the way and the validated material supply chain in place. And frankly, it's been super inspiring for everyone at the company, just seeing our teams dive into solving this problem. There's no doubt that everyone at OR is feeling better about our day-to-day personal situations, just knowing that we're making moves to help out. We've spent a lot of money and made substantial commitments without knowing details on who we'll sell it to or what the quantities will be. But to be honest, we've all just agreed it's the right thing to do regardless. Chris?
Well, thank you, Dan. I'm Chris Johnson, President and CEO of the Association of Washington Business. It's our privilege to serve as the state's Chamber of Commerce and the state's Manufacturing Council, representing nearly 7,000 employers across the state. Now, let me start by saying to the governor, manufacturers have heard your call, governor, and they are stepping up to show critical leadership at this important time. In fact, earlier today, the Department of Commerce, under the direction of Lisa Brown and your new procurement czar, joined with us and nearly 60 employers across the state to begin this very important and much-needed work. These companies come from every industry and located in every corner of the state of Washington. And we know that many more manufacturers want to raise their hand and volunteer to step up. And they're doing so with some great stories, such as distilleries and wineries that are making hand sanitizer. There's a manufacturer in Mukilteo that's making face masks for a local hospital and delivering them right there in their own local community. And manufacturers of all types, just like Dan, are eager to join this effort by retooling their shops to make personal protective equipment, such as face shields, gowns, and other items to keep our healthcare providers and other frontline workers safe. They are all willing and eager to play an important role in a leadership role right now. Washington manufacturers are, as the governor's talked about, has been the backbone of our economy. In good times, they fuel our prosperity, and in challenging times like this, they lift us up to find the much-needed solutions that are facing our community and our state. I have no doubt that Washington's manufacturers are up to this challenge that we currently face, and will answer your call, Governor, and do it in a safe way that includes social distancing and other measures to protect their workers and all Washingtonians. As one of the manufacturers said on today's call, we can do anything. We can do anything, he said. Just give them the sketch, and they can make it work, and they'll go to work with their employees to get it done. Thank you, Governor, for your leadership and for the opportunity to assist during this immense time of challenge in our state. We are in this together. We're proud that Made in Washington can make a difference and make a difference to frontline workers and all Washingtonians across the state. We look forward to working with you all.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for your leadership. A couple comments, if I will. The scale of what our manufacturing base can do really is impressive. Outdoor Research, I think, can be doing over 100,000 masks, potentially, we hope, by the end of this month. That's an amazing transition. And Dan and his team went out and did that, even without a specific order in mind. And that's the kind of spirit that we know is alive in Washington, and we want to awaken it. The second thing I will say, if you are a manufacturer or a designer, please don't be limited to the fact that you can't make the whole enchilada of these products. Our test kits have a variety of things in it, swabs, a medium solution, vials. Even if you can do one part of that to go into our kit, I hope that you will think about that soon. So thanks so much. I have a few other things I'd like to talk about, if I will, other than manufacturing. I just wanted to bring people up abreast of some of our latest efforts. Last night, I announced steps to help distressed Washington homeowners who are unable to make their mortgage payments due to the economic impacts of COVID-19. At my request, the Department of Financial Institutions is giving guidance to companies that service mortgages to work with homeowners on payments, including mortgage forbearance. DFI Director Charlie Clark tells me that financial institutions are responding positively to guidance, and we want to continue that effort. Our moratorium on evictions of those who rent of a few weeks ago remains in place, and my staff continues to explore other measures that might help. And no one should go without a roof over their head for not being able to pay rent at this time. I also note that Attorney General Bob Ferguson has indicated that his office will be active if, in fact, renters are not being treated fairly in this regard. Today, 130 members of the National Guard are mobilizing to provide support for food banks across the state, so people's basic needs are not disrupted by the crisis. We've heard food banks need help, in part because their volunteers many times are fit the profile of people who are at risk. So we've had thousands of volunteers who need to take care of themselves and stay home right now. We hope to replace a good part of that through the great efforts of our National Guard. I want to emphasize that the National Guard's efforts are not related to the enforcement of our Stay Home, Stay Healthy initiative. Their members, their fellow Washingtonians, that are simply here to help us through these, by providing substitute services of the kind that I have talked about. I also want to note that while most Washingtonians are being kind and generous and finding the best within themselves, I am concerned about some reports of people who are being overtaken by fear, and they've been involved in disruptive activities and sometimes threats against our Washingtonians who are Asian or Asian American. People who commit hate crimes in our state will be brought to justice. That is intolerable in our state. And we hope people understand this affects all humanity, and all humanity ought to be respected in this fight. As for the virus outbreak itself, there are reports about the spread that are somewhat encouraging, and they signal that social distancing measures may be having some beneficial impact. I was pleased that yesterday the White House coronavirus response coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx, praised our state's efforts to get the spread under control, including strong mitigation efforts and testing. She referred to a chart that showed how the state is doing relative to other states. And if I can just refer to this chart, I believe it's on your screen. This shows the cumulative cases per 100,000 population. And it shows New York in the blue, that's the highest line. New Jersey, that's the sort of dark brown. Connecticut, gray. Washington, sort of the light beige. And then California in the dark blue. I think that, first off, our hearts are with people in New York today, in New Jersey, who are having such a difficult challenge. And I know people are thinking of them, even if we don't know anyone in New York, because we are do not want to end up in that particular challenge. And that's what we're working so hard to avoid. I do want to show this, though, that this would suggest that some of the things we're doing are having a beneficial impact and may have reduced the rate of increase of this disease. And that is gratifying. But Dr. Birx also said something that we simply have to take to heart. And that is that without continuing these steps for at least the next 30 days, we don't know if the virus will spring back up. And we are not at the apex even today, or perhaps close to it. So it remains likely we will need to extend our Stay Home, Stay Healthy initiative. We are not yet ready to formally announce that. We hope to have some further guidance for our state in the next couple of days. But life does go on, and there is something I hope everybody can do today, and that is to make sure we participate in the U.S. Census. I can't overstate how important this is. The number of people who participate in the census will control how much federal assistance we get of nutritional assistance, job training, educational, and health care issues. So this is a moment where we have our health care at risk, and it's a moment we really need to participate in the census to increase our numbers so that we are treated fairly by the federal government. And speaking as a governor who gets up every morning trying to help Washingtonians, we all got to pitch in on this so that we get treated fairly, both in the financial side and in the U.S. House of Representatives, because this will determine how many members we have in the U.S. Congress to help our state in so many different ways. So with that, I would be happy to stand for your questions, and I'm sure Dan and Chris would as well.
You're listening to Jay Inslee's press conference live in Olympia. We are moments away from the White House press conference. We will also take you there live. Coverage of both here on the Dory Monson Show, 97.3 Cairo FM.
Question. As you know, the Department of Health is currently having challenges getting updated numbers posted publicly. Is that affecting your process as you determine next steps?
Well, we would certainly rather have at least daily the total numbers that we've been looking at, and there has been a challenge on that because the numbers have sort of overwhelmed the system. The system administrators have now embraced, I believe, Microsoft and some other vendors to bring in a new updated system that will have better service. We hope to have that up shortly. And yes, we obviously would like to have those numbers. We hope to have them shortly. But the trends are more important than any particular daily report. These numbers are going to go up and down on a daily basis. We are much more interested in trend lines. So assuming we can get this back in up fairly quickly, the fact that we had a couple days slowness probably will not be hugely injurious to our planning. But we obviously want to have that as soon as possible. As far as the amount that we are short, it's almost an infinite number because there are so many needs in the state of Washington. I'll give you an example. I talked to Dr. Ramsey at the University of Washington Hospital this morning. He indicated that their needs might be 5 or perhaps 10 times what they historically have used for personal protection equipment at the University of Washington. And the reason is that this is, as an infection process, it has extreme demands on the amount of material that our nurses and doctors have to use, our respiratory therapists. So the needs are huge in our hospitals. They are also large in our long-term care facilities, our nursing homes, in our emergency responders, in some of our employee groups that have interaction with the public, on those who are selling tickets to our ferries, to grocery store workers who have an impact. So we have huge needs, and that is one of the reasons I'm here to ask for help of our manufacturing supply chain and our business leaders to help come into the game to help us out. Now, we are hopeful that the federal government will also become more engaged as our active ally. They have done significant things for the state of Washington, the Army Guard, the U.S. Corps of Engineers. They have released things from the stockpile. But if you look at the demands across the United States, we are simply going to have to increase our manufacturing capability nationwide to be able to satisfy the needs.
Well, as Jay Inslee is talking about the federal government, what a great segue, because at the White House, the president is just walking out for his daily coronavirus task force briefing. You've been hearing Jay Inslee for the last half hour. Now we take you to the White House live.
Why we're extending our nationwide guidelines to slow the spread 30 days. Together, we have the power to save countless lives. We're attacking the virus on every front with social distancing, economic support for our workers, rapid medical intervention, and very serious innovation, and banning dangerous foreign travel that threatens the health of our people. And we did that early, far earlier than anyone would have thought, and way ahead of anybody else. in this time of need, I know that every American will do their patriotic duty and help us to achieve a total victory. As governments and nations focus on the coronavirus, there's a growing threat that cartels, criminals, terrorists, and other malign actors will try to exploit the situation for their own gain. And we must not let that happen. We will never let that happen. Today, the United States is launching enhanced counter-narcotics operations in the Western Hemisphere to protect the American people from the deadly scourge of illegal narcotics. We must not let the drug cartels exploit the pandemic to threaten American lives. In cooperation with the 22 partner nations, U.S. Southern Command will increase surveillance, disruption, and seizures of drug shipments and provide additional support for eradication efforts, which are going on right now at a record pace. We're deploying additional Navy destroyers, combat ships, aircraft and helicopters, Coast Guard cutters, and Air Force surveillance aircraft, doubling our capabilities in the region. Very importantly, our forces are fully equipped with personnel, protective equipment, and we've taken additional safety measures to ensure our troops remain healthy. Secretary Mark Esper, Attorney General Bill Barr, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien will provide more details. In addition, I'm going to have General Milley, who's done an incredible job in so many ways, say a few words. And also with us are Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Gilday, who you know, I think you know, and Commandant of the Coast Guard Admiral Schultz. So I'm going to ask Mark to start, and then we can go. And after that, we're going to take questions as it pertains to this, and then we'll go on to phase two, which is the virus itself. Okay? Thank you. Please, Mark.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today as we make this very important announcement. At a time when the nation and the Department of Defense are focused on protecting the American people from the spread of the coronavirus.
And as Donald Trump hands it off to some of the other people on the podium, let's take you back to Olympia, where Jay Inslee is answering questions still.
Governor, the state's been really short on protective gear, even for the 10 counties that were prioritized to get supplies. But now we're seeing more and more cases farther out around the state. Is the state doing anything to make sure at least some protective gear that's being requested by these are they getting any kind of help at this point?
I believe so, and I'll check to make sure. But the state is now going to be involved in what every state in the United States today is short of personal protective equipment. Very short. Every single state, every governor, every mayor, every business leader, we are all in the same soup in this regard. And we are all making very difficult choices on priorities where this can do the most good for the most people. So I haven't looked at the numbers, but I assume the huge amount of this material has gone into the central Puget Sound area first, because that's where the disease was first. But we realize that it is now spreading across the state of Washington, and I'm confident that our Department of Health is going to prioritize this, realizing that every citizen is equal and I have an equal chance to live. So we'll insist on that. We are looking at some medical facilities in eastern Washington. I don't think the final decision has been made. And I will reiterate this. We think we have had some success potentially bending the curve in the Puget Sound area. But the most recent evidence suggests that we're now having an increase, accelerated rate in Adams County, in Skagit County, in Clark County, in Benton County. So these are the areas we are most concerned about, and these are the areas that I hope people are most committed to staying home and staying healthy. Because what you're seeing in New York could be coming to the Tri-Cities. It could be coming to Mount Vernon. And we are not going to accept that. So I am asking everyone, no matter how far you are from the Space Needle, we got to realize we got to be together on this as soon as we can.
Next is Drew with King heard you for a couple of weeks. This is the first time we've heard you making this plea for manufacturers to switch up what they're doing and turn out this gear. Is that a result of the cases or a lack of help from the federal government?
Well, it's a combination of things. First, this has been an ongoing effort. Chris, with the Association of Washington Business, our Department of Commerce, for several weeks they've been involved in trying to recruit businesses, and we've had some success. But we need to broaden the effort. We got to get more people on the team here. That's because both the existence of the cases, the lack of confidence in the federal stockpile, and to some degree, the fact that we have not had as aggressive a federal partner to engage nationally the manufacturing base of the United States. We were hopeful by this time the president would have made a national call using the Defense Production Act to make sure that we were doing the equivalent of B-29s and minesweepers, like Franklin Delano Roosevelt did in 1941. You know, on December 8, 1941, Franklin Delano Roosevelt didn't go out and say, Connecticut, good luck building a battleship. He engaged the federal efforts. And we are hopeful still that the president will make that decision. And if that is done, I think that'll help. So it's a combination of reasons, and we're looking forward to success.
And Governor Chris would like to add to that.
Governor, if I can add on to that and to answer the King 5 question. I think manufacturers stepped up early as they think about the needed things early on, such as hand sanitizer. We saw that run out really quickly and saw distilleries and wineries react really fast across the state. Spokane get sanitizing equipment. I know we've been engaging employers across the state for the better part of 2 weeks with the Department of Commerce to talk about the next pieces that were needed, as you outlined, PPE, ventilators, hospital beds, working with also the supply stream to better understand the components that go into these types of products that are needed to ensure that the supply stream is able to be there as well. And certainly, I think that the challenge and opportunity is to understand the quantity, how much is needed, and ensure that we can meet demand both for Washingtonians and for outside the state and in the Pacific Northwest.
I'll just add something to what Chris said, and I really appreciate all those business people that have already stepped up. I will tell you, if you're a business that can make any of these products or even components of these products, you will have an infinite demand, because the entire nation is suffering what we are on the scarcity of these products. So don't worry about the demand. Whatever you can make, we will find a place to sell it. We'll use it first, and the rest of the nation can use it as well.
Next, we'll go to Zach of the Wenatchee World.
Good afternoon, Governor. My question is in regards to housing. The federal government included rental properties into their $2 trillion stimulus package. Do you know the percentage or type of rental properties that will be covered in the stimulus package? And then second, what, in your opinion, is a reasonable amount of time landlords should give to tenants who might not be able to afford rent this month or for the coming future?
Well, in answer to your last question, we have issued an order that is legally binding so that people cannot be evicted for failure to pay rent. I presume that order will be in place as long as we have an order, although I suppose that potentially could change. So right now it goes through next week, and as I've said, it's likely to be extended. What a reasonable time is depends on the future course of this virus and its impact on the economy and what we can do to help people through unemployment compensation. As you know, we've been successful in our state. Very early, I improved the access to unemployment compensation by removing the one-week waiting period. We also did things to allow people to get access to unemployment insurance who otherwise would not. Congress then continued that trend by doing some really great things to increase the number of people who can get unemployment insurance, including gig workers. They also increased the amount that people can get. People at the lower end of the pay scale will get their unemployment compensation plus $600. So there's some good things in that regard, but this is not everybody's solution. Look, nobody's going to come out of this unscathed in our state. Everyone is going to have some economic concern, and we all ought to recognize that. The question is, what can we do to help everybody as much as possible? And that's what we're doing in Washington State. As far as the percentages, I don't have a number for you. I will try to get that to you. Tara will try to get that to you when we can find it.
Governor, with the National Guard now being called in to help food banks, what's the potential that you may need to use the National Guard to enforce your stay-at-home, stay-safe policy?
I think it's very unlikely for several reasons. Number one, as I've said yesterday or 2 days ago, the vast majority of Washingtonians are complying with this. They want to comply, not just because it's a legal requirement, because they understand how important it is to their family's health. So that's number one. Number two, we have an organized way to help people make the right decision. First, they'll get a notice from some governmental agency. Second, businesses particularly will be counseled that they need to make the right decision or there is a consequence that they could lose their business license. They could lose access to potential, I suppose, utilities if you don't have your business license. And third and only third is a potential for legal action, and it is both a civil and criminal violation. So I got to believe that well before you get to the third step, the vast majority of people are going to comply. So the Guard is there to help us with mostly logistics. They will be helping in some of the construction. They're helping in delivery of food. They can help on potential security issues around shelters and the like, and they can help with life and safety issues. That's what they're there for. That's what they're really good at. I can't overstate how much we appreciate people leaving their civilian lives to come help us. I've seen them in action at OSO and in our forest fires, and it's just a really proficient group, and I very appreciate what they're doing.
Thanks, Governor. Is there a shortage of ventilators in Washington like in other states? And have you found companies in Washington to make those? And kind of a detailed question, you mentioned 100,000 masks at Dan Nordstrom's company by the end of April. I'm wondering, 100,000 a day, a week, a month?
That was a day. Am I correct, Dan, on that number?
Yes, sir. Hopefully 150 to 200,000 as we get the machines all online.
So on the ventilators, yes, we do have a local manufacturer, Ventec. They are working in a partnership with General Motors. And actually, they were subject to the one thing that the president has used the National Production Act for. And he did make an order in that regard. Turns out it wasn't necessary because Ventec already had an agreement with General Motors. They'd already consummated. But they're moving forward. We have an order for Ventec ventilators as well as we've received 500 ventilators from the national stockpile. So they are available today to bulk up our supply. And we have orders that have been placed. And I think approximately another 400 ventilators with private contractors, including Ventec. Now, whether we have enough or not remains to be seen, because we cannot predict the exact course of this virus. What I can tell you, it is much, much more likely that we will have enough ventilators if we have fewer people going to the beach and congregating, and we have fewer businesses that are staying open when they shouldn't be. If we all do what we can, I think there's a good chance that we will have enough ventilators given the current trajectory of this virus.
I'm unmuted. Can you hear me, Governor?
Yes.
Okay. I want to go back to the PPE supply and the priorities. There's also priorities or tiering, I believe, of hospitals, nursing home, long-term care facilities are near the top. We're hearing still that the nursing homes are not getting what they need. I wonder if you could talk about why are they not getting what they need, and are you concerned the state may, or the families may believe the state is potentially putting lives at risk as a result of that?
Well, look, we are doing everything humanly possible to fill the needs for personal protection equipment for every Washingtonian that can use it. We are scouring the globe for supplies. We are embracing local manufacturers to make these products. We are conserving as much as we can these products. That's why some time ago I issued an order.
And as Jay Inslee continues, the president is just about to take questions at the White House. And I got to say, Jay Inslee's given me a lot of stuff to talk about for tomorrow's show. My favorite, we have ways to help people make the right decision. We can take away their business license and cut off their utilities. Now will you make the right decision? I'll talk about all this tomorrow. President is just taking questions at the White House. We take you there live.
Before it gets to the shores, and they're coming from all over the place, and we have incredibly talented people. So I think I'm going to let Mark just give them a little bit of an answer to that, but we just want to see if we can stop a good percentage of the drugs coming into our country.
Sure thing. Thanks, Mr. President. So first of all, it's simply a matter of prioritization. The president's given us very clear guidance on what's important to him and protecting the American people. And as some of you know, I began a review months ago looking at all of our different geographic combatant commands and looking at where we can free up time, money, and resources to put into other endeavors. In this case, we had scrutinized our inventory fairly closely. The Chairman Milley did a great deal of work on this with Admiral Gilday, and we felt that there was no risk to the fleet, to our operations, to free up, in this case, naval ships. We also freed up aircraft and other assets to apply them to this presidential priority. And, of course, the Coast Guard did the same. So it was a very good operation. We feel this is very important to the American people and completely in line with the president's direction.
And how long will you be able to keep up this operational tempo?
Well, it depends. What we're going to do is we're going to run it for some matter of time. I'm not going to disclose how long that will be, and then we will assess it. And then we'll make adjustments from there. We may increase, we may decrease, we may sustain as is. But this will be an assessment we will do as an interagency team. We'll report back to the president, and we'll take further guidance from there.
And, you know, we didn't do it for this reason, but it'll also have an impact on the virus because we have people trying to get in. So not only drugs, but now we have a new phenomena. And that's at least for the next, hopefully, short period of time, the virus, so we'll be able to have an impact on that too, Chris.
Yeah, Mr. President, could you expand on that a little bit? Because you tie it to COVID-19, saying that these drug cartels were taking advantage of the situation, of this pandemic. How exactly?
Well, because we're focused on so many other parts of the country and even parts of the world. And all of a sudden, areas where we had it clamped down pretty tight, in fairness, you know, the wall is up to about 160 miles already. And any areas where we have that wall, it's for the most part contiguous, we have fill-ins, but we're up to 161 miles exactly. And any place where you have that wall, other than walking around it on the edges, it's stopping everybody cold. I mean, we're stopping. Nobody's seen anything like it. That's how good it works. And the other side knew it worked that well, everybody, because everybody was for it 5 years ago. All of a sudden, they changed. It's having a tremendous impact. But we are now focused on so many different things because of what's happened, because of this horrible, I say it's a horrible phenomena, that now we've got to focus on drugs. And the drugs come in from different methods, and we have the best people at sea anywhere in the world. So we'll have a tremendous impact on drugs. But one of the other things will also have an impact, we think, on the virus. Okay. Yeah, please.
Ambassador O'Brien, did China underreport both the number of cases and the death toll from the coronavirus? And if that's the case, Mr. President, what does that mean for our relationship with China and your relationship with President Xi?
Well, number one, I think the president has a great relationship with President Xi, and we'd like to have a great relationship with China. Unfortunately, we're just not in a position to confirm any of the numbers that are coming out of China. There's no way to confirm any of those numbers. There's lots of public reporting on whether the numbers are too low. You've got access to those reports that are coming out of Chinese social media and some of the few reporters that are left in China. We just have no way to confirm any of those numbers. Thank you.
We really don't know. How do we know whether they underreported or reported however they report? But we had a great call the other night. We're working together on a lot of different things, including trade. They're buying a lot. They're spending a lot of money. They're giving it to our farmers. They're paying our farmers for the product. So, you know, we're going to continue that along, John. Yeah.
I have another one, sir. You tweeted earlier today that there was you have uncovered intelligence that there is a sneak attack being planned against American troops, American assets in Iraq. Are we talking about Taib Hezbollah again? Also, no one said, but we just have information that they were planning something, and it's very good information. It was led by Iran, not necessarily Iran, but by groups supported by Iran, but that to me is Iran. And we're just saying, don't do it. Don't do it. It'd be a very bad thing for them if they did it.
The last time they did do it, in early March at Camp Taji, there was a response from the military against Taib Hezbollah, and Taib Hezbollah alone.
That was a very powerful response, by the way. That response knocked out five different places, but it also took out a lot of very bad people.
Your tweet seemed to suggest, though, that if it happens again, it may go up the food chain.
Well, that was a very big response. You know, we knocked out a lot. We looked, they hit one site, we hit five big ones and ammunition sites. You saw what happened, and I won't say how many people were killed, but some bad people were killed, and a lot of them. That was a big response, but this response will be bigger if they do something. Yeah, you have one, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Just going back to your conversation with President Xi, wondering if you received an intelligence report that talked about the discrepancy in the numbers, and if you addressed that with President
Xi. We have not received that, but their numbers seem to be a little bit on the light side, and I'm being nice when I say that, relative to what we witnessed and what was reported. But we discussed that with him, not so much the numbers as what they did and how they're doing. And we're in constant communication with, I would say the biggest communication is myself and President Xi. The relationship's very good. They're spending, they will be spending when things even out. This is obviously a little bit of a hurdle, what's happened over the last month. But they'll be spending $250 billion buying our product, $50 billion to the farmers alone, $200 billion to other things. They never did that before. So we have a great trade deal, and we'd like to keep it. They'd like to keep it, and the relationship is good. As to whether or not their numbers are accurate, I'm not an accountant from China.
Strain things at all in terms of the trade deals?
No, because people just don't know. People don't know where did it come from. I think we all understand where it came from, and President Xi understands that. We don't have to make a big deal out of it. We didn't like the fact that they said it came from our soldiers, and they haven't pursued that. It was, and that was a mid-level person said that. That was not a high-level person, so I assume. I will always assume the best. I'll assume the high-level people didn't know about it. It was a foolish statement. So, look, the relationship with China is a good one, and my relationship with him is, you know, really good. Please.
Can I follow up just on that point on Chinese propaganda that you mentioned as well as Ambassador O'Brien? So in the past several weeks, China has been shipping PPEs, you know, masks. They've either been selling or donating everywhere, Africa, Europe, Italy, Russia, and really pushing this narrative that they're taking on a global leadership role in the crisis. So what are your thoughts on that, and is there any plan for the administration to take on that?
Well, I don't mind if they want to. I view that as a positive, if they're helping other countries. We have 151 countries right now that are under siege by the virus, under siege. Some are doing really badly. You know, they don't know about social distancing. These are countries that aren't highly sophisticated. They don't have great communication to the rest of the world. I mean, they don't know the things that we're doing and that some others are able to do. And if China can help them, I'm all for it. I'm for all of us helping everybody. We're soon going to have more ventilators than we need. We're building thousands of ventilators right now. Now, it takes a period of time to build them. And again, nobody could have known a thing like this could happen. We're building thousands. We will fairly soon be at a point where we have far more than we can use, even after we stockpile for some future catastrophe, which we hope doesn't happen. We're going to be distributing them, the extras, around the world. We'll go to Italy, we'll go to France, we'll go to Spain, which is in, you know, very hard hit.
On that note, is there any truth on
you are listening to a live White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing. You heard all of Jay Inslee's press conference here on 97.3 Cairo FM. We have you covered both locally and nationally. We will take you back to the White House. This is KIRO FM, Tacoma, Seattle. When the president is done, Tom and Curly will take over. Take care. God bless. I'll see you tomorrow at high noon. And back to the White House we go.
Now, whatever we have, whatever we've committed to, we commit. But we also need a lot for ourselves. So we're very focused on that until we get over this. So obviously, we're not going to be
shipping too much until now. We do have excess of certain things, and we don't have enough of others. I just had a great talk today with the Doug McMillan from Walmart, and I gave him a very, very big order for gowns, for protective gear for the doctors, for the nurses, for everything, and he's actually very excited about it. He's the biggest purchaser of this kind of thing, I mean, of anything probably in the world, and he is very excited about it. And he said, what size? I said, it's almost unlimited. When you look at these hospitals, the amount that they order, you almost say, how could they possibly use so much, whether it's masks or the protective gear? But we are supplying a tremendous amount, and we just ordered a lot from Walmart. And he's taken this on personally. And I said, let it go ship. Let it be shipped not to a warehouse, directly to the side of the hospital or wherever they need it, because we save a lot of time when we do that. So Walmart, in addition to many other companies and people, is now involved at the highest level. Please.
The announcements that were made today are aimed at curbing the flow of narcotics into the country. Are you concerned that we're possibly losing ground on the drug crisis while we're...
I don't think we're losing ground, but we don't want to lose ground. That's why we're doing it. I don't want to lose ground. It's a big fight. I've seen many families where they're wiped out because they lost a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or whatever, or all of them. And we don't want to lose ground. And we are heavily focused on the virus, very heavily focused. And with this, we have never, after this goes into effect, which essentially is now, we will never have been so focused on drugs coming into our country as we are right now. And remember, as that wall gets bigger, that really helps us a lot. Really helps us a lot. Yeah, please.
Is the Mexican government or any other Latin American government working in conjunction with this operation to help with that drug?
Many of the governments are, and Mexico in particular is. And Mexico right now is, we have 27,000 Mexican soldiers on our southern border keeping people out of our country. And we're, very few people are coming into our country right now. And as we complete, again, the wall, in addition to the 27,000 soldiers, it's a very tough place to come into. When I took over, people were coming in, and they were bringing whatever they wanted. They were bringing drugs of any type, and now it's very hard for them. And it will get harder and harder. But the president of Mexico is a great guy who's really helped us a lot. 27,000 soldiers, 27,000 Mexican soldiers. And you remember when I first took over, they had all of the caravans coming up with 10,000, 15,000 people in the caravans. They were marching through Mexico. That's not happening anymore. Please, in the back.
Mr. President, are narco militants such as the FARC 57th Front out of Colombia or the Maduro regime, do you know if they're working in conjunction with the Mexican cartels? Is there any intelligence indicating that?
I cannot tell you that. I know the answer to that. I believe I do, but I cannot tell you that. We have information that would lead us to believe something very powerfully, but I cannot tell you the answer to that. Yeah, please, Jeff.
Mr. President, have U.S. forces in Iraq taken any precautions because of this particular attack? And have you...
They're taking precautions, and we are watching it very closely. And if something bad happens, it's going to be very painful for the other side.
Have you been in touch with the Iraqi government about this?
They know about it, yeah. They know about it.
Are they offering additional protection?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, you know, we're down to a small force now over the years. Since I got, we've been bringing smaller and smaller. And we're down right now to a small number, but we have very powerful air power there. We have the big base, and which will, you know, I mean, nobody can get near it. Nobody can even get near that. But we've really... largely left, you know, we've taken tremendous amounts out, and we've deployed them elsewhere, including bringing some back home.
And do you think tweeting about it will help prevent that from happening, or perhaps
it's social media? It's social media. It gets out. I have, you know, hundreds of millions of people, number one on Facebook. Did you know I was number one on Facebook? And yeah, I just found out I'm number one on Facebook. I thought that was very nice, for whatever it means. You know, it represents something, and when I can explain to people, just don't do it. You know, it's going to be bad if you do. It's going to be really bad. And they don't need to do it. They have enough problems. Iran has enough problems without doing that. But we've been pulling back very substantially over the last year in Iraq. And so, you know, that's the way it is.
You said before you don't want to give the enemy, whoever that is in this case, a heads up. Do you feel like maybe you did?
No, I'm just giving them a warning. It's not a heads up. I'm giving them a warning. There's a big difference. I'm saying if you do anything to hurt our troops, they're gonna pay a price. No, they did last time, you know, as per the question. They did last time. We didn't make a big deal out of it, but we hit very, very hard five massive, major ammunition sites, and a lot of people went with it. A lot of bad people. A lot of enemy went with it. And we didn't want to make a big deal out of it, but they paid a big price. They'll pay a much bigger price this time if they do anything.
Now that we have Admiral Gilday here, perhaps we could ask a question about what the plans are for the Roosevelt, sir.
Sure. In terms of Roosevelt, we're making great progress in terms of testing and also moving people off the ship. So in the past day or so, we've moved over 1,000. That number will increase to more than 2,700 by Friday as we continue to increase the testing as well and fly those samples off. So we're getting after it pretty quickly.
And will the ship remain fully operational?
It is fully operational now.
And will remain so.
What protocols are you putting in place to help mitigate the spread of coronavirus among servicemen and women who live and work
across the fleet? Before we have any ships getting underway for training exercises, for deployments, sailors are spending 14 days in quarantine before they get underway. We've increased the amount of testing equipment as well as physicians on board our ships at sea. So we've taken additional steps since the beginning of the COVID crisis.
Not too many people are going to be getting off at various ports anymore, right? I think we're
correct.
We probably have decided on that.
You mean civilians?
Military people.
I want to add one. I'd like to add one thing to that. There seems to be this narrative out there that we should just shut down the entire United States military and address the problem that way. That's not feasible. We have a mission. Our mission is to protect the United States of America and our people. And so we live and work in cramped quarters, whether it's an aircraft carrier, a submarine, a tank, a bomber. It's the nature of our business. But the chain of command has very clear guidance, and I'm confident between the commanding officers and the senior non-commissioned officers that they're taking every reasonable precaution to make sure we practice as best we can social distancing, sanitizing environments, et cetera, consistent with that mission. And that's what I trust Admiral Gilday, Acting Secretary Moley, and all the other service chiefs and service leaders to do. And I'm confident we'll do that, because keep in mind, we have a job to do, and we will continue to do it, defend the United States of America.
Mr. President, you mentioned the stockpile earlier. The Washington Post reported today that the U.S. stockpile is nearly depleted of PPE. Is that the case? And if so, how
it
are
is,
you planning to
because
it?
We're sending it directly to hospitals. We don't want it to come to the stockpile because then we have to take it after it arrives and bring it to various states and hospitals. One of the things, and again, we asked the states to do this as much as possible. Many of the states have people that, whether it's that or clothing, they make clothing, lots of clothing in many of the different states. We said, see if you can get it directly from those manufacturers. Make a deal. We'll use the Purchase Act if we have to on them. If they won't, by the way, so many people are, the spirit is incredible what they're doing. But we've asked states where they have large manufacturers of different types of equipment to use those local factories, those local plants, and have it made directly, ship it right into the hospitals. We're shipping things right in. We have, as you know, almost 10,000 ventilators, which we need for flexibility. It's a lot. It sounds like a lot, but it's not, because as you see on the board from yesterday, as this scourge, as this plague, as this virus moves, it moves very fast. And we don't know yet whether we're going to need it in Louisiana, in New York, you know, wherever it may be. So we're ready for it. We're totally ready for it. We're going to be shipping out. We've already agreed to ship out over 1,000 today to different sites, different locations. But we have to have the flexibility of moving the ventilators to where the virus is going. And we'll be able to see that, you know, we'll be able to see that from charts a couple of days in advance. So right now we have a nice pile of ventilators. We have a lot more coming in. We have a lot of, I think we have 11 companies making ventilators right now. Very good companies, and they're making them. You know about Ford, you know about General Motors, but we have a lot of companies making the ventilators right now. So now the question is, you know, when you make one, it doesn't get made in 15 minutes. It's not, a mask can go quickly, a ventilator takes time to build. It's very, very, as we discussed, it's complex, it's big, it's expensive, you know, et cetera. But we'll be able to move. We have great flexibility.